A top law enforcement official and the largest healthcare provider in Western Massachusetts have partnered in a campaign to stop sudden, unexpected infant deaths. Hamden District Attorney Anthony Galluni and Springfield-based Bay State Health are trying to educate new parents and their families about creating a safe sleep environment for babies. WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief Paul Tuthill spoke with pediatrician Dr. Andrew Balder, medical director, Bay State Mason Square Neighborhood Health Center.
There are approximately 35 unexplained infant deaths a year in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. In Springfield, the number goes up and down because when you deal with small numbers, they vary. But on average in Springfield, there are three or four a year.
Do we see more in high poverty areas? Is there any correlation between that and sudden unexpected infant deaths?
That's a great question. And the answer is yes, there are correlations with poverty. There are correlations with more crowded living circumstances. It's more prevalent in our African-American population. And there are other subpopulations or risk or behavioral risk factors that one can cite as well.
And do we know what causes it?
Sudden unexplained infant death and the subsets, the old SIDS or sudden infant death syndrome, there are some where you can surmise that there may have been an accidental rollover or suffocation from bed sharing. There are others where, because of the sleep circumstances, you can imagine how a blanket covered a face and something happened. But most of these are based on some or start with some unique vulnerability for the child, which is not fully understood. But we know that there are some kids who you cannot predict in advance who are more of a setup for problems when their sleep environment gets disrupted, when their oxygen and carbon dioxide get out of whack, and some small subset don't respond well. But we also have to look at the risk factors, causative or not, are risk factors that we can change, the ones we understand, and then the set of things we don't understand.
And so what are some of the risk factors? What are some of the things that you can change?
So we start with the campaign or the knowledge from 30-plus years ago about alone on your back in a crib. And it really started with back to sleep 30 years ago. Babies should be put to sleep on their backs. Sometimes that's counterintuitive, but there is less of a risk of unexplained infant death with a baby on their back. Some of that related to actual aspiration, which is actually more likely to happen where the wrong thing goes down the windpipe when you're on your tummy rather than your back. So that has been the major remediable one. The others that are immediately changeable are bed sharing, which for some parents is a difficult thing to interrupt. Certainly for breastfeeding, the natural tendency is to keep the child next to you in bed, but they should be put back in a sleep surface next to the bed after breastfeeding or after you wake up after breastfeeding if you fall asleep. So bed sharing is a definite risk factor that's changeable. The loose stuff in the crib, the blankets, the bumper pads, the stuffed animals as kids start to squirm. And I have a picture of my 5-week-old grandchild who turned 90 degrees in her crib on her back, unpredictably. So if you have loose stuff in there, that can come up in contact with the face. So those are changeable. And there are also parental behavioral risk factors that are changeable. Smoking, whether it's smoking prior to the birth, which actually is a risk factor, mom smoking, or anyone smoking in the household after the birth is a risk factor for unexplained infant death. If you bed share or accidentally fall asleep with a child, if you're taking something that is a sedative, a sleeping pill, alcohol, marijuana, other drugs, you can run through the list, be they prescription, legal, illegal, those become remediable risk factors.
What's being done to convey this information to new parents?
The hospitals throughout the country have become more and more tuned in to their role. So one thing to cite is that education in nursery after the birth of a child has become much more prevalent and much more attention, as is true not just in nurseries but on inpatient units, because children who have chronic illnesses, prematurity, other significant illnesses are certainly more at risk. Again, I'm not going to say that's changeable. So the institutions have become much more savvy with this. Massachusetts, if we look at our Department of Early Childhood Education and Care, early childhood care, who basically license and sponsor daycares. And let's face it, especially with single families, parents need to get back to work and make an income after 1, 2, 3 months. So child care providers who are in the system are becoming much more educated on safe sleep and safe sleep habits. Trying to get messages out through avenues such as this, on radio, on media, newspaper, television, whatever, becomes part of the effort. Trying to get the information to those who influence children is a harder nut to crack in many ways. You know, going to grandparents, churches, I say we should go to beauty parlors and other places. And now I'm talking women, sorry guys. But to get the information out there as much as possible.
And there's a video now that's been produced that each new family sees before they bring the child home from the hospital.
Healthy babies should always be put to sleep on their backs on a flat, firm surface like a crib or a bassinet for every sleep during the first year of life, as this is the safest position for them to sleep. Car seats, loungers, and inclined baby seats are not considered safe for sleep.
Is that something that you feel is effective?
I feel that it's effective for a set of individuals. Nursery is difficult because there's a lot of education, a lot of information you are given. So the person who's introducing you to that has to say, this is important, I want you to pay attention. It is also available through the website and social media, so there are places other than just in the nursery where that can be refreshed.
And you're doing this in a partnership with the Hamden District Attorney. How did they get involved in this?
The District Attorney has been a great partner and is one of the reasons we're here today. So, the District Attorney is not just charged with prosecuting crimes, but there is a child fatality review team in each county in the Commonwealth by statute. It reports to the Attorney General. It is run out of the District Attorney offices. They review every child death, be it an infant or a teenager or whatever, from whatever cause. The District Attorney takes that seriously and also realizes that part of his responsibility is really to reduce the incidence of adverse and or illegal events in the Commonwealth. And I'm not talking legality here, but death is an adverse event. So he has taken seriously part of his duty to reduce bad things from happening. So he approached us a couple of years ago at Bay State and said, We've just investigated 5 or 6 crib deaths. What's going on here? And it's grown out of that awareness of the investigations, because the state police do death scene investigations. The city police in Springfield do death scene investigations for all infant deaths. And it got his attention and it snowballed from there.